This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, August 2nd. Well, we're kicking off the month of August on a strong note for wheat. Last week we had Kansas City up 27, Minneapolis up 21, Chicago was up 20, while the row crops of corn was just unchanged, soybeans were up 14. So we're not getting much action in the row crop space as weather is okay. In most of the Midwest, we still have the heat and the dryness in the northwest part of the Midwest. Everywhere else is looking at stellar yields. So they're kind of balancing each other off. Whereas in wheat, we're primarily completed with the winter wheat harvest. Here in the United States, we're at least halfway through with the rest of the northern hemisphere. And spring wheat harvest is going to be very quick as there's not much to cut. And the last week's hard red spring wheat tour pretty much confirmed that. So we are looking at a wheat complex that has very little harvest pressure yet to push on this market. And of course, the upside, I think, is very strong. I believe we've turned into a strong bull market in wheat from a fundamental perspective, from a notable drop in supplies of spring wheat worldwide. And even winter wheat is declining. Russian yields, as they're pushing toward 50%, have been much less than expected. And that's really the big surprise this summer or this harvest season. Other than, you know, having a wipeout in spring wheat, that's not a surprise. We've been watching that happen. But for Russia, rain has been relatively good, except the spring wheat areas there and some of the central region of Russia where winter wheat is, had some dryness issues, but by and large they didn't have that stressful of a growing season other than some dryness last fall. And yet the yields are coming in quite a bit short of where they expected. So we've seen some of the private forecasters in Russia drop their production estimates. Last week it was Sovcon, early last week and late last week, ICAR stepped up as well. They are lowering their production estimate to 78.5 million tons. That's all wheat out of Russia. That's a good 6.5 below where USDA has them at 85. So I think it's pretty safe to say USDA will start ratcheting down, at least in the August supply-demand report. One would think they're going to have to take a pretty good chunk off of that because everybody else is well below 80 million tons, and 85 is just too high. So that alone puts Russia in a bit of a bind as far as being aggressive offers for export. In addition to that, the government's looking at that as well, and they're not going to remove the export tax, looking at disappointing winter wheat yields and a notable drop in spring wheat production. So the export tax will remain in effect, and looking at their budget that they put out recently, it shows that the tax will stay in place for quite some time. I would imagine the whole marketing year it will be in effect. So it really tamps down the aggressiveness of the Russian offers, and that allows all of world prices to float higher. U.S. prices are moving higher, European prices are moving higher. Looking at some of the world prices from last week, U.S. soft red at the Gulf at 302 is up $14 a ton. Hard red at the Gulf is at 307, that's up $8 a ton. In Ukraine, we're up $8 a ton at 251. Russia's up 8 at 258. And that follows a $10 jump the previous week. So they've bumped up $18 a ton just in 2 weeks, just to give some reference here. So, you know, clearly prices are moving higher, not only here in the United States, but around the rest of the world. And, you know, being in a bull market, you would expect to see that just steady work its way higher. You'll get your pullbacks, but I think they'll be well supported, as we have seen here in the futures market, in our own markets. Egypt on Friday afternoon put out a tender, so we expect to see the results of that probably today. Last week they bought 180,000 from Romania and Ukraine at 245 FOB, but again, we're up $8 on pretty much everywhere, and we're up more than that in the U.S., but they're not going to buy U.S. wheat. It'll come from likely the Black Sea region, but they're likely going to be paying higher prices. So this just continues to add to the pressure. You know, Egypt tends to set the tone because they're a consistent buyer, and they're buying from the region that tends to set the price as far as world prices go. So I'm optimistic on wheat. I think that you know, spring wheat harvest is going to be kicking in here. That would probably offer some pressure, not a lot, but in the bigger picture, we're looking at a significant drop in high protein hard wheat, not only here in the United States and in Canada, but also around the rest of the northern hemisphere. And that just underpins quality wheat values. We see Kansas City taking some leadership here as well as the heat and dryness stretches down into the southern and central plains. They're going to be seeding winter wheat here in within a month and a half or so. And certainly in the northern plains, it's a disaster. And not a lot of moisture has fallen. So you could see a notable drop in winter wheat plantings, not only in the northern plains, primarily Montana, but also in the central plains. And that would just completely change the dynamics of the relationships of hard red winter wheat to soft red winter wheat, which has been trading discount for a couple years now. And I just see that changing. I thought it would happen this year, but it didn't. And but I think eventually Kansas City will regain its leadership over Chicago, and it's going to take some tightening supplies of hard red, and I see that coming. You know, and it could, again, it's going to happen on dry conditions in the northern plains, a drop in plantings, you know, producers hoping they get something over the winter and they can switch to spring wheat or some other crop. But it's very difficult to plant into very dry conditions. It's just, you know, almost just a complete waste of money, not to mention time. So we'll see. We'll see how this all progresses. But wheat has entered a long-term bull market that can stand on its own. And it has shown that, with corn and soybeans largely just going flat and the wheat market continuing to push higher. We see that on the night session as well, with Kansas City, you know, up about 15 on the night session. Chicago's up 13. Minneapolis is up 6. But soybeans are down 10 and corn is down 3. So, you know, on its own, it's doing its thing in the middle of harvest across the northern hemisphere. It's an impressive performance from wheat, and I think just underscores the bullishness going forward and the ever-tightening supplies that we see. We'll have to, you know, obviously monitor what's going on in Argentina and Australia. Both of them look okay at this point. We don't have any significant issues developing there, but, you know, they're not going to be able to really offset the losses that are happening in the northern hemisphere. So even with those crops coming on, that could offer some temporary reprieve from a bull attitude. In the bigger picture, you still stay in that bull market until we get into the next growing season of the northern hemisphere. So that's why I'm shooting for early October, which is a normal seasonal pattern for the market to work its way higher. Then we get the harvest from Argentina and Australia. That usually tends to pull the market down into late year. And then it just depends on other factors from there. But I would be targeting early October, probably around October 10th, if you had to pick a day. You know, I'm not going to pick a day, but that the first or second week of October, depending on the price action, the charts, and the targets. But for those who are looking to try to develop a marketing plan, the first stage of the bull market and before you would look for any notable correction would, I think, would take us up into that early October timeframe. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.